Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novik. Join me as we learn the Rambam's Mishnah Torah, one perek each day. Today we'll be learning Hilchot Tshuva, perek Aleph. The very concept of Hilchot Tshuva is an invention of the Rambam. The practical laws of how to do tshuva could easily fit into a single perek and would not merit their own set of halachot with 10 prakim. But Hilchot Tshuva are much more than a practical guide. In these prakim, we find discussions of the different ways in which God grants atonement for sins of different levels of severity, how and when a person is judged for his actions, what kinds of sins and problematic attitudes can stand in the way of true repentance, the foundational principle of free will and how it relates both to tshuva and to the omniscience of God, the concept of reward and punishment and the ways in which it finds expression, and an extended discussion of the nature of the world to come, Olam Haba, and who gains entry to it. This is, in other words, at least as much a treatise of religious philosophy as it is of practical halacha, and the Rambam, in his trademark manner, seamlessly weaves together the practical and the philosophical into one integrated and consistent spiritual outlook. The unique nature of Hilchot Tshuva, compared to other parts of the Mishnah Torah, is reflected in the Koteret, the preface to the halachot, in which the Rambam lists the mitzvot to be discussed in the halachot, in this case only one, as we'll get to in a moment, which in general the Rambam ends with the phrase, Uvi'ur mitzvot elu baprakim elu. The explanation of these mitzvot is in the coming prakim. But the koteret of Hilchot Tshuva ends with the phrase, Uvi'ur mitzvah zo vi'ikarim hanigrarim ima biglala baprakim elu. The explanation of this mitzvah, along with fundamental principles which relate to this mitzvah, is in the coming prakim. The Rambam makes it clear that Hilchot Tshuva is not merely a how-to guidebook for doing tshuva, but something much more broad and deep. As we alluded to, there is only one mitzvah in all of Hilchot Tshuva, and the Rambam explicates this in the very first halacha. Kol ha-mitzvot sheba Torah, bein aseh, bein lo taseh, im avar adam al achat mehen, bein bizadon, bein mishgaga, kishiyaseh tshuva v'yashuv mecheto, chayav litvadot lifnei akel baruch hu, shneamar ish o isha, ki yasu mikol chatot adam lim'ol mal bashem, v'ashema ha-nefesh ahi, v'itvadu et chatatam asher asu. Ze vidui dvarim, uvidui ze mitzvat aseh. When a person repents from any avera at all, he must verbally confess his sins, vidui. The source of this is the pasuk in Parshat Vayikra, which speaks of the obligation of someone who brings a korban asham, a type of offering to atone for certain sins, to confess as part of the procedure of bringing the korban. The Rambam goes on to clarify what constitutes vidui. Ketzad mitvade, omer, ana Hashem, chatati, aviti, pashati lefanecha. Vasiti kach vechach, vareini chamti uvoshti vemaasai, ulaolam eni chozer ledavar ze, zehu ikaro shel vidui, vechol hamarbelit vadot umarich binyan ze, hare ze mishubach. The text of the vidui is, God, I have sinned in your presence, and here the vidui contains three words for sinning, denoting different levels of sin. Chatati refers to sins done bishogeg, without complete awareness or knowledge. Aviti refers to sins done knowingly, like someone who can't resist the temptation. And pashati refers to sins done not only knowingly, but as an act of rebellion against God. The vidui continues, I regret what I have done, and am embarrassed by it, and I will never return to this sin. Note that an integral part of vidui is the commitment not to repeat the sin in the future. Here we already encounter a difficulty. Note that the Rambam doesn't say that there is a mitzvah to do tshuva. The mitzvah, rather, is that when someone does tshuva, he must do it in a certain way, namely through verbal confession of his sins. Is it possible that there isn't a mitzvah to do tshuva? The Ramban al Torah believes that there is a mitzvah to repent, and finds a source for it in Parshat Nitzavim, which speaks at length about Bnei Yisrael returning to God. We'll see in Perek Zayin that the Rambam sees those psukim as a promise or as a prophecy, not as a mitzvah to do tshuva. It is possible that the Rambam feels that repentance in and of itself doesn't need to be its own mitzvah. One is always obligated to observe mitzvot, and just as there is no mitzvah to keep the mitzvot, so too there is no mitzvah upon a sinner to stop sinning and return to mitzvot. It's just what he has to do, like any other Jew has to be shomer mitzvot. The Minchat Chinuch points out that we have other mitzvot which don't command us to do something, but rather say, if you're doing this, then this is how you must do it. For example, divorce. A man is certainly not commanded to divorce his wife, but the Rambam counts gerushin as a mitzvah, because the Torah commands how one who divorces his wife must do so, namely by giving her a get. Similarly here, the mitzvah of the Rambam isn't to do tshuva, rather how one who does tshuva must carry it out, namely through vidui, verbal confession. However, the Rambam's view seems to be more complicated than that, based on his formulation in the Koteret, the title of the halachot where he lists the mitzvah to be discussed. He formulates the mitzvah there as Shiyashuv hachote mecheto lifnei Hashem v'yitvadeh, that the sinner must repent before God and confess his sins. Here the Rambam does mention tshuva itself as part of the mitzvah. This letter of Soloveitchik to explain that the Rambam certainly does see tshuva as the ultimate fulfillment of the mitzvah, which is performed through the act of confession. In the body of the halachot, the Rambam chooses to emphasize the vehicle of tshuva, namely verbal confession. Only in this manner is his repentance serious, effective, lasting, and acceptable to God. But the mitzvah is only fulfilled, according to Rav Soloveitchik, when this confession indeed leads the sinner to abandon his misdeeds and return to God with a full heart. In the rest of Halacha Aleph, the Rambam adds that tshuva with vidui is a necessary prerequisite for atonement, kapara, and kapara is only achieved through the combination of tshuva and vidui together with a punishment prescribed by the Torah, whether it be a korban like a chatat or an asham, malkot and beitin, or even the death penalty. Kapara is required even for someone who is put to death for a sin, or monetary payment when someone injured his neighbor or causes damage to his property. Halacha bet. Si'ira mishtaleach, lefishu kapara lekol Yisrael, kohen gadol mitvadeh alav al lashon kol Yisrael, shnemar vitvadeh alav et kol avonot b'nei Yisrael. The si'ir ha-mishtaleach, the goat which is thrown off a cliff as part of the avoda in the Beit HaMikdash on Yom Kippur, is a vehicle through which every Jew can receive kapara for all of his sins. But this too can only happen through tshuva and vidui, the first on the part of each individual sinner, and the second on the part of the Kohen Gadol who confesses while leaning on the goat before it is sent away in the plural form, chat'u, avu, pash'u, on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael. In the absence of tshuva on the part of the sinner, the Seir HaMishtaleach atones only for what the Rambam terms averot kalot, meaning any sin for which the punishment is not karet or mitat beitin, with the exception of a false or unnecessary oath taken in God's name, shvuat sheker or shvuat shav, which is considered especially severe, because the pasuk says with regard to them, lo yinakeh Hashem, God will not cleanse he who takes that kind of oath in the absence of tshuva. Halacha gimel, bizman she'ein beit hamikdash kayam ve'ein lanu mizbach kapara, ein sham ela tshuva. Hatshuva mechaperet al kol haverot, afilu rasha kol yamav, ve'asa tshuva ba'achrona, ein mazkirin lo shem rish'o, shnemar v'rish'at harasha lo yikashel ba biyom shuvo merish'o. Ve'atzmo shel yom ha-kippurim mechaper la'shavim, shnemar ki v'ayom hazeh yichaper aleichem. Nowadays, of course, we lack most of the aforementioned methods of achieving kapara. Korbanot, malkot, capital punishment, and the Seir HaMishtaleach. There are two ways to achieve kapara now, namely tshuva and Yom Kippur, the day itself, even without the long process of avoda in the mikdash, which is supposed to be performed on that day. In Halacha Dalid, the Rambam clarifies how these two mechanisms work together to grant kapara in different kinds of sins, and there are four levels of severity. Someone who violates a positive commandment, for instance by neglecting to save your katamazon after a meal or eat matzah at the Seder, is forgiven as soon as he does sincere tshuva. If someone violates an isser, a mitzvah lo tase, without a severe punishment like karet or mitat beitin, like, say, by eating pork, wearing shatnez, or doing malacha on Yom Tov, then tshuva is a prerequisite which can delay final judgment, but the sin is only atoned for when Yom Kippur arrives. The third level is someone who violates an isser which carries the punishment of karet or mitat beitin, like doing malacha on Shabbat, eating chametz on Pesach, and most forbidden sexual acts. For such a person, the combination of tshuva and Yom Kippur delays judgment, and atonement is only achieved through yisurim, some type of physical suffering, which God brings upon the sinner. Let's read together about the fourth and highest level of sin, the last few lines of the perek. Bamed varim amurim, bishelo chilel et Hashem be'et shavar, aval mechalel et Hashem, אף על פי שעשה תשובה והגיע יום הכיפורים והוא עומד בתשובתו ובאו עליו ייסורין, אינו מתכפר לו כפרה גמורה עד שימות. אלא תשובה ויום הכיפורים וייסורין שלושתם תולין ומיתה מכפרת. שנאמר, ונגלה ואוזני השם צבקות אם יכופר העוון הזה לכם עד תמותון. Someone who commits a חילול השם, a concept we learned about at Lent in Parakei of Hilchot Yesod HaTorah, is not fully atoned for even after tshuva, the arrival of Yom Kippur, and after undergoing Yisurim. One example of such a person, probably the most common nowadays, is someone who commits an Avera knowingly, not in order to get any tangible benefit, but as an act of rebellion against God. Such a person must live with his sin for the rest of his life, and full atonement after the prerequisites of tshuva, Yom Kippur, and Yisurim is only achieved at the moment of death. Thank you for joining me in learning today's parak of the Mishnah Torah. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to share, I'd be happy to hear from you. Send me an email at mtorahyomi@gmail.com. That's M as in Mishnah, Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Yomi, Y-O-M-I, @gmail.com. Come back tomorrow as we continue with our next parak.